Welcome. I am William Evans, and you are listening to A Living World Conversation with Deanna Janae. This is the fourth in a sequence of conversations. Thank you for speaking with us again, Deanna. Welcome.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate the time that we have together.
I do, too. How are you doing through this time?
Through winter time? I am so happy it snowed. It feels like winter now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it your nature to be connected?
Absolutely. I think it's everybody's nature to be connected. I know it is everybody's nature.
Have you ever been disconnected?
I went through my childhood feeling disconnected, and it wasn't until I met two little old, very old people in Ecuador that I got my connection back. So yes, I have felt disconnected. And within that disconnection, I felt connected too. There were many times that I had some amazing experiences that reminded me that I was connected.
I'm curious. I'd like to hear a little bit of briefly about the two little old people in Ecuador.
Yeah, well, they lived in the Andes, and I had this a beautiful experience with them in their home where they were considered shamans. And I asked for healing with them because I felt disconnected.
You asked them for healing.
I did.
And wow.
Yes, because I felt like there was a part of me that just wasn't present. And I went through most of my life feeling very angry. And as a child, being angry was not a very warm and loving place to be with my family. But anyway, that feeling of being disconnected is very disconcerting. And when I met the elders, they saw it. And they did a long, long healing with me. And I felt like I received a soul retrieval from them.
Wow. So do you have a sense of what they observed in you that tipped them off that you were disconnected?
Well, I don't know that I have a sense of what they observed in me because they didn't speak Spanish and they didn't speak English. They spoke Quechua. So I didn't know from at least conversation what they observed in me, but my sense was that they brought back a part of me that was lost when I was, or that went away when I was in utero, when I was in my mother's womb. And they were very, very clear that there was this part of me missing. And it turned out later, I found out late, much later, well, a few years later through another process, that I had been a twin.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned in an earlier conversation that you were a twin.
Yeah. And that twin energy, I just remember being very angry about having lost my twin when
sure.
I was in utero.
Yeah.
So things changed after that.
Do you have
that.
A sense overall about why we're so vulnerable as a population to disconnection?
I think we're hardwired for domination. I think that's a 500-year-old hardwiring, if not older. And I may have talked about this before, but that business of not being allied with the natural world, with the world around us, with all the beings, but having some need to dominate and be competitive. I think, disconnects us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think it's a human frailty, or is it, are we being disconnected by design?
Well, by that design, for sure, we're being disconnected. I don't think by design we are disconnected beings. We are of nature.
Do you think we're innately connected?
We are innately connected.
Yeah.
I think the way the mind and domination sets up an energetic in the field of fear that disconnects us.
So the transmission of information is an important part of any complex system, and we communicate information through language.
Right.
If I grow up loving Mother Earth in a day-to-day concern with the network of exchanges I'm involved with, and I am able to release my sadness and grief, I can create beauty. The beauty of a living world story.
Mm. And I think that we don't necessarily create beauty. We are beauty. And that's perhaps the difference in our languaging, is that we put ourselves in a position of being the creators of our experience, where experience really is in the field and it comes into us and through us, and our communication about those experiences can be difficult in a way with our languaging, because we sense that we are creating something when it's already there. We're just in a moment in time of experience. So our language can create that, our language can create that disconnect in some ways. We're not even aware of it, really. You know, we just are so conditioned to a way of being that is of a dominant, more dominant mindset, that we think we are creating when actually it's all around us, it's within us, it's already there.
So the beauty is everywhere, and the ability to see it depends on my inner state.
I think that's right. Our openness, our ability to be expansive and open, it's always there. You could say that in more psychological terminology, perhaps trauma and things that happen to us can cause our being to be more shut down or less expansive, and so we don't notice the beauty all around us. But beauty is. There's no creating beauty. Beauty is.
Well, and in the Navajo blessing way, the ceremonies are aimed at regaining relationship and balance with beauty.
And reminding our beingness that we are beauty, and beauty is all around us. And that's the, you know, not to disparage being a human being, because one of the hallmarks of being a human being is forgetfulness. And so ceremony and reminders, like the beauty way ceremony, you might call it, are necessary. And throughout time and throughout cultures, there were ceremonies all the time to remind us of our connectedness because of our human ability to forget.
Yeah, Woody Morrison, who you know, or knew, Cowan Sanaa, would say to me that the purpose of ceremony is to put us in balance so we will know how to behave when Source presents itself.
Mm, yeah. It's amazing to be alive at this time where there's so many distractions that pull us out of balance. And balance is, I don't know that balance has always ever really been a natural state. I mean, it is the state that we want to be in, to be expansive and experience the world from our hearts. And yet, throughout time, there's been ceremony to keep us, help us stay in balance. And that's one of the first obligations, you might say, that humans had for coming into the world is this ability and knowing that we go out of balance, and sometimes very quickly, and to have ceremony. And also gratitude, gratefulness is another way of keeping us in balance. And those are like original instructions. Those are things that we agreed, you might say, to be human.
It seems like I have a choice between aiming at balance and enjoying it when I'm there and trying to get back to it when I'm not, and domination. And domination takes the fun out of being.
That's for sure. Yeah. And when you say takes the fun out of being, I would also say removes us from our innate gift of joy. And I feel joy is a birthright. And when we dominate, we're in a different mindset that does not provoke the joy that is already there.
Yeah, it's a joyless domination.
It sure is.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to a Living World Conversation with Deanna Janae, a man who wrote a lovely book about water. Theodore Schwenk explains a way of thinking directed solely toward profit cannot perceive the vital coherence of all things in nature. What can you tell us, Deanna, about your relationship with the vital coherence of all things in nature?
When I think of vital coherence, I think of the web of life, and that is a real thing. We are all deeply, deeply connected and interconnected and interconnected to that web, and coherence is the part where we are not separate, that there's a flow. And I think when you, especially water is such a great image of flow. And we are 70% water, and that 70% water is flowing within us all the time. And to imagine that that flow is always going, and when it gets stopped, that vital coherence gets stopped too.
Fortunately, I grew up outdoors. And I wanted to climb mountains and ski down them and paddle rivers and camp in alpine meadows. But I've spent enough time in cities to realize most people there are over-domesticated and disconnect from that vital coherence.
Mm-hmm. I'm remembering a story that Gary Snyder wrote, The Practice of the Wild, and he talks about that. He talks about how nature is within cities as much as it is within the wild. And sometimes you look at a cement parking lot or a condominium or a building and don't think it's alive, but everything is alive. And I feel that if we could simply realize that everything has life, even the bricks and the mortar are alive, then that can change our sensation about being connected or disconnected. I remember one of my teachers, Elliot Cowan, talking about cities and how nature, the energy of nature, the energy of the wild, actually still exists. There's still an imprint of you might say, the spirit or the energy, the life force energy of that wildness. And that really struck me quite a long time ago, actually, but to judge, and that was a conversation you and I had recently, Will, about judging, to judge that the city is not alive is cutting off part of ourself.
And missing the detail that coyote is moving into cities and seemingly thriving.
Right. Yeah. And how about the deer?
Yeah.
Even, going through my neighborhood, watching the deer, looking in the windows, watching television. I mean, everything is alive. And so it's part of our mindset, I think, if we can realize that we are connected, deeply connected to everything, it changes our relationship to everything.
Yeah, and it's such a treat to meet someone who's not disconnected. I've mentioned to you Trina Blair in Durango, who leads the mission of the Turtle Lake Refuge. And The mission statement is a celebration of the connection between personal health and wild lands.
Well, yes, and our definition of wild lands, right? That's what we're talking about, how we define what is wild and what is not wild. Everything has a bit of wildness to it. You know, when you de-label something physical, you're looking at it and you put a label on it, it kind of takes the wildness out of it. But when you start peeling the labels off, you begin to see how it's created and that it's alive and that there is a wildness to even this desk that we're sitting at. You can look at the wood and know that wood has been repurposed, but it's still a living being. It still has energy. As an archaeologist way back many years ago, we would do the carbon dating on really, really ancient artifacts that we'd find in it. Because it still had carbon in it, we could tell what the date was, but it also speaks to its aliveness. And many cultures talk about people as being animals, where as animals, we have animal nature, right? And that it's a growing into becoming human. And I'm thinking about, because we have a mind, we make a lot of distinctions and discernments and assessments and, even disconnections. And to become more human is to, from a more indigenous perspective, to become more human is to really feel and acknowledge our connectedness to all of nature. It's a process. It's not something that we just automatically do.
So one way to healing disconnection is building an alliance.
Yes, building an alliance and realizing that we are of an alliance. There's two things going on at the same time, I think. building an alliance, one of the places that I like to help people with is building alliances with animals and with plants. That's beginning in some ways of realizing that we have animal nature and that we have plant nature, and that we're just decoding, you might say, that intrinsic ancestral connection that we have with the natural world. And by what I mean by decoding is that it's in us already, the codes of all the animals and plants. We've been eating them and drinking the waters and breathing the air that all of these beings have done since the beginning of time, that we just, again, building an alliance is, to me, a decoding of what is already in our bones.
And a remembering.
Remembering, yeah. Yeah.
Tell our listeners what you mean by an alliance.
Well, I think you should tell our listeners what you think about what alliance means.
Well, I'd be happy to. I had a teacher who encouraged me to look for alliances to create. And she would even apply this to the business world.
Right.
And she was well aware that the business world was based on domination. So she made an emphasis that alliances are deliberately and consciously created relationships based in cooperation.
Yes, so what you're talking about is the cooperation and equality, the connectedness that I'm talking about, that we are all part of each other, really.
The vital coherence.
The vital coherence, right? We breathe the same air. We drink the same water. You know, it's in some ways it seems infinite, but it's really finite. And those things are part of all of us. We are the trees. We are the mountains. We are the rocks. We are the rivers. We are the lakes. We are all of that. And that vital coherence, to me, means that we are all the same. And yet, we're different too, which is quite mysterious.
And she would say to me, an important fact about an alliance is that it's not really necessary to love or even like the other party or agree with them philosophically. That in an alliance, no party seeks to dominate. The parties are equal. The goal is mutual benefit.
Yeah, one of the rules of life, you might say, is respect. And it feels to me that what she's talking about is respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Respect for myself. Right. And when I have that, I can extend respect to the water and the yeah. plants and the creatures and to other humans.
Exactly.
So in an alliance, the only thing necessary is that the relationship be equitable, and we could certainly say respectful, mm-hmm. and mutually beneficial through cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Another aspect of, like, principles of living is reciprocity, giving to each other and receiving, that mutual respect of giving and receiving.
And that exchange keeps a relationship and the balance alive.
Absolutely. And we all know what it's like to just be giving all the time and never receiving anything back. It's not a respectful relationship.
Yeah, it's not an equitable exchange.
Exactly.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you, Will.
You've been listening to a Living World conversation about alliances with Deanna Janay. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening.